With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Biden and the First Lady are in coastal Virginia today to promote his plans to increase spending on education and children, part of his $1.8 trillion family's proposal announced last week. The president says there's one thing his plan does not do.
It doesn't add a single penny to our deficit. It's paid for by making sure corporate America and the wealthiest 1% just pay their fair share.
The first couple visited an elementary school and also went to Tidewater Community College. Meanwhile, the Senate's top Republican says the president's $4 trillion infrastructure package will get no votes from members of his party. Bob Agnew has more.
Senator Mitch McConnell says his party is willing to support upwards of $6 billion on roads and bridges, but he blasts the president's plan as, quote, a $4.1 trillion grab bag, which has infrastructure in it, but a whole lot of other stuff. In addition to funding infrastructure projects, the president's plan would include trillions for everything from in-home care to the Green New Deal. In McConnell's words, if it's going to be about infrastructure, let's make it about infrastructure. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at SRNNews.com, National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Edmonston says folks in Mississippi are not out of the woods yet when it comes to bad weather in the area.
We're not really looking for much in the way of severe weather today, although we still have this warm, moist air mass in place and a strong thunderstorm or two cannot be ruled out. But we're looking for another potent upper-level disturbance to move across the area Tuesday.
The line of severe storms had rolled through the state on Sunday. Three-time Indianapolis 500 winner Bobby Unser has died. He died of natural causes at his home in Albuquerque on Sunday. Unser won the Indy 500 in 1968, 75, and 81. On Wall Street, stocks remain mixed. The Dow had 300 points. The NASDAQ down 43. This is SRN News.
For your Monday afternoon, mostly sunny and breezy with a high about 92. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 69. Tuesday, mostly sunny, another warm day with a high 93. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low 70. Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high 86. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with showers likely, high 84.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Kurt Schneider. I'm a shaliach, or sent one, of Messiah Jesus. I want to share with you how the Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament, and the New Testament that we call in Hebrew, the Brit Kadoshah, fit together like a hand in a glove to give you a brighter hope for today and confidence in your future for tomorrow.
Join Rabbi Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. on Discovering the Jewish Jesus, right here on WTRJ.
Five, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello and welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you would like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT, or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. And today is Monday, first time we've been on in May, in the month
it's
of May?
It's the first May broadcast. Yeah. That's correct. You are correct, Taylor. It is May.
Already.
The fifth month of 2021.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting crazier all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists are now blending cells to form human monkey chimera. Did you read that?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
That's incredible. That's, what are they doing?
I don't know.
You know, as believers, at some point, I mean, we're supposed to have a Christian worldview about these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like when you look at what's going on and we just see our whole world unraveling around us. And it just the whole idea, God created us. And I heard a guy talking the other day, you know, there's a big fascination right now with UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that all over the news? Yeah. New sightings, new this, new that. And he was asked, well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that what? In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He made the sun, and he made what we have here. I mean, like, you know, scientists have said, well, there's solar systems and there's all these other things out there around the world. And I will remind our listeners that everything scientifically discovered in the past 2,000 years has always validated biblical truth. It's never invalidated biblical truth. And so the idea right now that, you know, people get so enamored, it's just a distraction by the enemy of our world. People are more focused on other things than on doing the right things, on seeking God. I mean, we live in a godless culture right now. I mean, when you start talking about, you know, blending monkey cells and human cells to try to, I don't even know. Do you know, have you read what they're trying to do with it? Do you know even know what they're no. trying to do uh-uh. with those? I have no idea why they would think it would be okay to do this. I guess in the name of trying to do something in medicine, right?
Yeah, I was kind of confused about that. It seems like it's because we can, we'd like to try it. I didn't research into it too much. Now there, I mean, could be some benefit that they claim that you can get out of it, but it just seems like a something that I wouldn't want to pursue if I was a scientist, but I'm not.
Well, here's the thing. Evolution says that we came from animals.
Mm-hmm.
That goes, I mean, God says he created man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the rub. You either buy into it or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. Well, I believe that we could have come from animals. The only problem is that Scripture says God made us from what? Dust.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it requires more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in the God of the Bible. Because when we look at the Bible, we still have a document that for 2,000 years has been attacked. They've tried to destroy it. And again, there's been no scientific, no geographic, no historical artifacts that have disproved anything in the Bible. They've only affirmed it. And when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found out how accurate it really was. So when you look at what Scripture says, you either can say, I believe it or not. I mean, you know, we take this first segment, we usually talk about what's going on in our culture. I mean, just when I saw that, Chimera is part human, part animal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of Greek mythology, I think. But, you know, what it says, the Time magazine article said, in a groundbreaking experiment, researchers have successfully created the first human monkey chimera. I mean,
it's just cells though, right? Like, it's not like a embryo or anything like that.
Describes the first embryo.
It is an embryo. Oh wow.
Containing human and monkey cells that was cultured for 20 days. And he says, we read that of decades of work in understanding early embryo development in non-human species, which they hope will apply to humans. But it's bound to raise ethical questions about combining human with different species. It is talking about embryo work and doing stuff, which is just crazy, almost like something out of a weird sci-fi movie that you read about and then you see.
Yeah. I would like to know the ins and outs of that as far as, you know, I saw the headline, but I'd be interested to see if what they really had there. Was it like just one cell of, you know, one human cell in a monkey embryo, and oh yeah, we got, you know, this or that, or was there really a true viable embryo that had a, you know, was a mix of the two? Or
yeah, yeah. Well, let's
know,
say
they said 20 days. So then after that, did they scuttle it, or did the thing not, you know, survive?
Well,
or,
you don't know. Yeah. But they just put this article out, mm-hmm. and again, it is kind of it's. I feel like we've kind of got with the internet this Tower of Babel moment,
mm-hmm.
where people think they can be God.
Yeah.
You know, and if an embryo has animal, non-human cells in it, because the difference between humans, I know dog owners, cat owners, horse owners, other people out there might disagree, but humans have souls. There's a difference. God breathes the soul into the human being, that he doesn't breed a soul into an animal. He doesn't talk about their, I mean, whether animals have a soul or not, but mm-hmm. we know for that, that human beings do. And and a lot of times we get this ends justifies the mean mentality. Well, if it can help develop a cure for cancer, is it okay? Is it? I mean, at what point do you draw the line?
Yeah.
And so, one researcher at Harvard said that I don't see this type of research as being ethically problematic, because we have lofty humanitarian goals. We want to do good things. In other words, the ends justifies the means. And that's what happened in Russia. That's what happened in Germany. And really, I'm telling you right now, you know, I don't want to go off on this mask kick with you or the vaccine kick too much, but you know, people, the people that are masking out there, almost wearing that like a MAGA hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they really are. And if you don't wear that, then you're not part of the group. I mean, like, where have we come? My wife and I went and saw our daughter dance in a Nutcracker that was supposed to go on last December, but it didn't. It got pushed. And University of North Florida would not even let kids, like, I'm talking 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds, be up on the stage without masks dancing. And we're watching all these high school students, all these kids dancing on stage wearing masks. And you can see them huffing and puffing under the mask. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing with our kids? I mean, it's time really for the people to start making their voices known about this. By the way, Thursday, I'm going to have Congressman John Rutherford on, who's a congressman for this area of Florida. And he's been on a couple of times. He's a believer, loves the Lord. And I just called him. I said, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? I feel like our world is kind of falling apart in a lot of ways. And what's the future? Are we going to have vaccination passports? Are we going to be mandated to have? I saw one lady lost her job because of that.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, literally, there's a renewed effort right now. I went into a store the other day, and I've not worn a mask in there since August. I mean, I haven't been, you know, and I know the people that work in there, and they're like, well, where's your mask? And I'm like, I haven't worn a mask since August. What are you talking about? Oh, well, corporate's coming down on us. So there's like this renewed effort to get people to mask up. And even President Biden was interviewed about why he's vaccinated and he's wearing a mask. Just want to be safe. I mean, like, this fear thing has just gone ballistic. And I was in Publix yesterday out at the beach. I was the only person in there without a mask. I'm just like, my goodness, we right now 100 million people are vaccinated, which that's a whole nother issue. I don't want to get into, but so going back to the original thing with this monkey and human, why are we allowing the ends to justify the means? We've never been those kind of people. God's people look to God. He is the means, and we're not people of fear. We're people of faith. And I really think that, like that pastor up in Canada, get out of here.
Yeah.
You don't have a right to be here. We need to stand up to people who are trying to infringe things upon us that they don't have a right to.
Yeah, I think we need to rediscover as a people and as a nation the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, which is something that, led us into the Revolutionary War. Some of our thinking as far as why we thought it was okay to create a new nation and to push back against the king. I think we need to re-look at that and realize that, if we don't act locally, nothing's going to change. And if we just wait back and wait for someone else to do it, well, it's not going to happen, because there's going to be too many people who are just afraid to push back.
Yep. So,
all right. We'll be back with more after the break. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop, breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos.
That is Give Me Your Eyes by Brandon Heath. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And if you are just joining us, the first segment of the day, we usually talk about the news and what's been going on kind of throughout our culture or locally, just kind of talking about some local things or broader things, that, and we talk about it from a Christian worldview, a Christian perspective. We were just talking a little bit about science and, you know, how, the lack of a Christian worldview and how that can lead us to do things that don't seem to make a lot of sense. And you were talking about the human monkey hybrid, quote unquote. Like I said, I would really like to know more about, you know, what that really entails. But you said that a professor from, where was it? Some university.
Harvard. Harvard. Well, they was doing research at Harvard.
Yeah but said, you know, I don't see any sort of ethical dilemma with this. And it just made me think, right when you said that, I was like, I bet that person is probably pro-abortion because, you know, of course you wouldn't see an ethical dilemma because you don't have a value of life. And so, like I said, really interested to know like what really went down, is going down with that. But I think it is a broader point to be made about how we have lost the value of life. And like you said, that's what...
Well, here's the thing. We've lost the value of a life. We've mm-hmm. lost the value of the institution of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back when the court, talking about the Supreme Court, ruled against the Defense of Marriage Act, they said that, well, this is really just about allowing homosexual people to have the same rights as heterosexual people. It's about their rights. That's what they said, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't trying to redefine marriage. Well, I'm sorry, that's not true. It was about redefining marriage. Listen to this. All right, on November 20th of last year, two women walked down an aisle, exchanged rings, shared their first and only kiss. They consider themselves besties. They consider themselves queer and open to dating anyone but each other, to have a sexual relationship with anybody else. They met 10 years ago, almost 9 years ago, and they decided to get married and have a platonic marriage for the purpose of doing life together, but not have a sexual relationship together. And, you know, if you stop and think about the reason God gave marriage was for a man and a woman to be together as one. That oneness is celebrated in sexual unity that produces children normally, not always, but normally. And those children are then trained in the faith, and it's passed down through your children. That can't happen with a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. They have no biological way apart from technology, the same technology that can be used to take monkey cells and put into human cells. So you got to ask yourself, you know, where is this going to stop? I mean, like, basically we are denying God in his creation and his design anytime we affirm that. And so now we got to the point where we're trying to do polyamorous marriages, multiple partners, people now doing platonic marriages. They don't understand. We are redefining marriage in our culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so for believers, there's no wiggle room in the Bible for this. This is not a debatable issue, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not. And you know, when you were saying that it's about, you know, the homosexual right to get married, I mean, I think that the proper answer to that would have been to say, well, they do have the right to get married because marriage is between a man and a woman, and anyone in America can do that. But instead, it was to carve out a whole new caveat, a whole new definition of what marriage means. And I don't think that you can do that. I think marriage by institution is defined by something higher than what a court says.
Well, you got this guy who's a family therapist in California who says we have to acknowledge that we've normalized heterosexual relationships, monogamous relationships, to the point of stigmatizing other kind of relationships.
That's just an idiotic statement.
I know. He says all of this to say it's probably happens a lot, but people don't talk about it much because their relationships are invalidated by others when they're seen as not being part of the norm. I mean, isn't that the biblical view? I mean, it is the norm.
Yeah, not only that, it's the historic view, not to say that there haven't been, you know, small scale cultures like tribal cultures that have done different. But historically speaking, that is the norm, the normative approach to marriage or to human male and female interaction is one man and one woman. Now, obviously, there was, like I said, caveats on tribal levels and stuff, but marriage between a man and woman, for the most part, has been, you know, the norm.
Well, here's the thing. Marriage, my highest loyalty in life is to my wife other than Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be for every married couple. It should be more that the marriage relationship is so sacred that God used it for an illustration of the church's relationship with Christ. And the husband-wife relationship should be so valued and so prioritized. No child should come between it. No other goals should come between it. That relationship, this is your it is a lifelong relationship is what it should be. It's not always. And what's happened in our culture is it's diminished the value of it so much that now you have the church that has a higher divorce rate as people outside of the church. Why? Because they've stopped normalizing that. They don't view it as, and listen, there are people out there who I know have been abused. They've been mistreated. They've been abandoned. And my heart goes out to women that were not cared for the way they should, and even men whose wives decided to leave them. But that doesn't mean that you take the standard down and say, okay, it's okay. You know, we just got to change everything. God's standard has always been that one man stays married to one woman his entire life.
Yeah, that's been the design. And just because that there's, you know, there's a sin that's involved, and so that people don't experience what marriage is supposed to be, that doesn't mean that we should just abandon what marriage has been about. And as our culture, we've taken a marriage away from that lifelong bond that's designed to produce children, and said, well, you know, it's really just about your feeling and how you feel. And, you know, if you feel like this thing isn't working out, you know, we have no fault divorce. And, you know, you feel like we don't want to have kids, well, we have abortion, you know. And so the whole Christian concept of what marriage should look like and what it should be about has been completely eroded to the point that, like you said, the church doesn't quite even understand, you know, the significance of marriage. I mean, it's the first institution that God set up, looking in the Bible. You know, that's the one of the first, that's part of the first things. That's something that should be integral to the way that we approach life. And yet it's more and more just something that's done for convenience or pleasure or what have you.
Well, that's one reason I'm excited about this week. And we're looking at a guy who was courageous, and we need people who will take a courageous stand for Christ in our culture. And, you know, whether you agree philosophically with the guy in Canada who basically told the police they had no right to be in his church building there to to come in there and do that, you have to applaud the guy's courage. I don't see pastors down here doing that.
Yeah.
And you go, well, we got to respect the government. He's saying, listen, you don't have a right to be in here.
Yep.
See, Paul said, hey, is it right for you to be arresting a guy who's a Roman citizen who's uncondemned? Paul exercised his rights. He did. Mm-hmm. To why? For the glory of God. And we can't cower and allow people to do things that are not legal. And that's what those people were doing up there. They were just using their badges to walk in there. They had no right to be there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have left.
Yeah, well, and also, you can't elevate man's law above God's law. And I think that's,
say that again.
You can't elevate man's law above God's
law. One more time.
You can't elevate man's law above God's law. And so that's something that you want to give respect to Caesar. But if Caesar tries to usurp the place of God in your life, you can't allow
that
to
happen. You
don't
bow before the emperor.
Yeah.
And this thing, when we look at the life of Stephen, he is such a fascinating guy to me because he had such a short life as far as we know. We don't know how old he was, but what I mean by life in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he was not a believer most likely before Pentecost. And so he was one of the guys that was picked to be one of the seven that would remedy the problem of logistics they were having because of the rapid growth. And, what's interesting is he goes before the Sanhedrin, the same Sanhedrin that ordered Jesus to be crucified, sent him to Rome to Pilate, the same Sanhedrin that arrested the apostles and then beat the apostles after arresting the second time. And when we come back, I want to kind of put some thoughts out there about death, because most of us live like we've got all this time left. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but death is every time you go to a memorial service, every time you go to somebody's funeral, it's a reminder that we're mortal. These bodies are just transitory. They're just basically a tent, Paul calls them in Corinthians. And so death really reveals who we are. I mean, what we really value. At that moment that you think you may be dying, if it's imminent, you're not thinking about temporal things. You're not thinking about the size of a boat you always wanted. You're not thinking about your bank account. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that and ask you a question out there. So I hope you'll stay tuned with us on SWAT Radio.
All right, so we will be back with more after the news. We'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Ace Door and Window, as well as a special thanks to our sponsors, Tom Neal Trucking, and a special thanks to our sponsor, Jeff Andrews of Highway to Eternity Ministries. If you would like to sponsor the program, please email us at doug@swatradio.com. That's Doug, D-O-U-G, @swatradio.com. Also like to take a little bit of time to give a shout out to our listeners listening in Virginia at the Lighthouse, as well as in Meridian, Mississippi, listening on WMER, and all of you who are listening online wherever you may listen around the country or the world. We'd also like to give a shout out to our local listeners listening here at 91.7 in Jacksonville, 91.9 in St. Augustine, and 91.3 in Folkston, Georgia. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Conservative Republican legislators in Kansas have failed to override Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto of a proposed ban on transgender athletes in girls and women's school sports. The Senate's vote to override Kelly, 26-14, and left backers of the measure one vote short of the necessary two-thirds majority. Kelly had called the measure regressive and said it would send a message that Kansas was not a welcoming place. Multiple tornadoes have caused damage across Mississippi on Sunday. No injuries reported, or bad weather possible for the region on Tuesday. Construction spending bounced back in March. The Commerce Department reports spending on construction projects rose 0.2%, but was less than what some analysts had predicted. On Wall Street, the Dow had 270 points, but the Nasdaq is down 51. This is SRN News.
There's some major delays on the west side because of a crash on State Road 23, the First Coast Expressway, southbound at the ramp from I-10. That on-ramp left lane is blocked, blocking all the lanes. Also, there's congestion on the east beltway on I-295 southbound from Heckscher Drive to the Dames Point Bridge. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 69. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 93.
Hello, this is Steve Gregg from the Narrow Path Radio Broadcast. We're a live broadcast each weekday afternoon, and we try to answer every Bible question people call in and ask on the air. Sometimes it's very interesting. We get all kinds of questions, including whatever ones are on your mind if you call in. Join us each weekday at the Narrow Path.
Tune in to the Narrow Path with Steve Gregg every weekday at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. here on WTRJ, The Truth.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is Wren Collective with Rescuer. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15 this week. And we are talking about Stephen. We kind of left off right as we were getting into it, and we're going to pick up there today. Or not today, now that the break's up.
Right now, today.
Yeah.
Right now. I was talking about death. You know, Taylor, have you ever had a moment where you thought death was imminent, like within wherever you were at that particular time? Like really?
Yeah, not like for like a someone pulled out on me when I was on my motorcycle and I had to take a pretty drastic evasive maneuver to not get hit. But it wasn't like.
How old were you when that happened?
25.
Were you married?
No.
No. So you were still young and invincible. I mean, it's interesting when you, but even then, did when you thought about that, did it make you think about your life at all? Were you too young to really think about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, because when you're younger, you tend not to think, well, that's just a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? You don't think I really almost died.
Yeah, well, it shook me up. And, you know, it was around Christmas time. It was like the day before Christmas. I was heading to my parents. And, I didn't dwell on it too long. But, it shook me up for, you know, couple hours.
Well, I've had two near-death experiences that really, I mean, I literally thought I was dying within a short amount of time. And when you have those moments, like I said before we went to break, you're not thinking about, a nice car you wanted or a boat you might have wanted to buy. You're not thinking how much money's in your bank account, how big a house that you didn't get. You're thinking about one thing, and you're thinking about you're about to meet God. I mean, that was what went through my mind in both instances. And, you know, as we think about our life in Christ or our life here on earth, we have to ask ourselves the question, how important to us is what God has done for us. In other words, not just so often when we think about what God has done for us personally, we only think about it through the lens of our life. And by that, I mean, we think about, okay, you know, I made some bad choices, man, and God's redeemed it. And we stop there. But do you realize all the things God went through and allowed and was sovereign over to get you to the point of being behind a microphone today to tell people and help distribute to people hope in Jesus Christ? I mean, when you think about going all the way back to Abraham, I mean, most of us don't think without Abraham, we don't think about his factor in our life.
Right.
We don't think about the fact that at 190 years old for his wife, he had a son who was a child of promise. We don't attribute that to grace in our life. Mm-hmm. We don't think about how God saved Moses, you know, redeemed him from the Nile River, and how that impacted me and you. You know, his people had to be preserved. And so when God started with Abraham and unfolded the whole story throughout time to bring you into his family, I mean, when you start adding up all those possibilities, or in a lot of cases, impossibilities that God was involved with, how important is that to us? How much do we value it? How much do we love him because of that? You know, you think about your dad, and, you know, your dad played pro football, and I know you played college football, and, you know, your dad, I think, you know, by the time you were in college, he was out, right? He was mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. But let's say your dad was still on a team, and let's say your dad not only was on it, but he was coaching a team. And he brought you on that team out of college and helped you be part of that team, even though you didn't think you should be. I mean, you knew you wasn't quite as good as this, but would you be grateful to that, just to be up at that level? I mean, go back to when you were there. I know you realize now that you did it, but I'm just talking about you would be so grateful for him doing the things he did to get you there. But in the Christian life, we don't think that way. We don't think about all these things God accomplished in our life. And I'm reminded of the story of the woman who, you know, she cried on Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her tears and her hair, dried his feet with her hair, kissed his feet. And the religious guy goes, hey, he didn't even know what kind of woman this is. And he says, let me tell you a story. And he tells a story about two people forgiven. One's forgiven a big debt, one's forgiven a small debt. And he said, who's going to love more? Well, of course, the one who's forgiven the big debt, he says. And so he points out to the guy who was hosting this party, hey, I came in, you didn't do your basic customary greetings. But this woman has, you know, fallen at my feet, washed my feet with her tears. And he's telling the whole thing. He's who've been forgiven much, loves much. Well, that's important for us to look back in our lives and say, yes, he's forgiven me much. But it's also important to realize all the other things he's done to get us to this point. You can't just wipe those away. They're part of our story. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that, that Abraham is a part of your story?
No, not in those terms. You know, I've thought about, obviously, what God would have done if Abraham had decided not to be faithful. Obviously he would have raised somebody else up, you know, like, but I haven't really thought about how that, you know, affects me. So that's not something I really.
Abraham is part of your story. Moses is part of your story. King David is part of your story. And all the way through all these people, I believe with all my heart that Stephen grasped that. And even though he had only been a believer for a few short weeks in the Messiah, in Jesus Messiah, he was so grateful that Jesus Messiah chose him that he was willing to do anything, anytime, any place for him. He was all in. And you see that in what he did in chapter 7. And so what we see in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, is kind of this unveiling of his character in a lot of ways. We see these different things as part of his character. But the most important thing about Stephen is he's a man fully surrendered. And we see God revealing the impact of a man fully surrendered. In fact, do you know what his name means? Stephen means victor's crown. It's like the crown of victory. And so in Stephen, we see a man full of faith. We see a man full of the Holy Spirit. We see a man full of wisdom. We see a man full of grace, a man full of power, a man full of courage, and a man full of God's presence. And all these characteristics come out in this text. And I want us to start in Acts 6, verses 5, and read all the way through 15, just so you can say the names again. All right.
No. Let's see how
you
do.
Got this, man.
And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, thank you, and the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
May God bless his word. Stephen, man, what a guy. You know, back when I was in the Marine Corps, there was a guy who said, courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's assessing that something's more important than that fear within you. And that's really what you see in Stephen. I don't think Stephen was unafraid. You know, we have this idea that and to be courageous means to be unafraid, and it doesn't. The theme for our retreat this summer is Rock Kazak Amatz, which is what? Only be strong and courageous. Why do you think Moses had to tell Joshua that several times? You think he was afraid?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the greatest men in the history of the Israelite people, and he's replacing him, that'd be big shoes. And so he was told, only be strong and courageous. And so courage isn't not having fear, but it's assessing, man, this, what I've got to do is more important. So whether it's sharing our faith, whether it's speaking the truth in a culture that's hostile and, really rebellious against God in so many ways, I mean, we have to rebel against our culture. Yeah. I mean, as believers, we've got to rebel against the culture around us and say, no, this is truth. We pray for our culture, but we stand on truth and we speak truth. Stephen is a great example for that. And he was a bridge between the apostles, Peter and the apostles, and the early church, the ministry really of Paul to the Gentiles. He tied in Peter in this early ministry to the Jewish people, and then Paul being sent to the Gentiles. So that's what we're going to be looking at all week. So I hope people will stay tuned. It's really, really good stuff for us in our walk.
Yeah. So make sure you stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That's at SWAT Radio Talk. And you can download our SWAT app in the App Store. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I'll never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
That is Chainbreaker by Zach Williams. Welcome back to SWAT.
No, that was Freedom Hymn by Austin French.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
That was...
It's because in Freedom Hymn, he says chains breaking.
No.
That's what I think.
No, because you go Chainbreaker. I'm like, that's not Zach.
I haven't made that mistake in a while. That was,
That's okay. Hey, there was something else I wanted to talk about today that it just escapes me at this point because we kind of got into the text, which is good. I like being in the text, but it was something in our culture. And I was talking about standing firm in our culture. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can jog my memory just a second because I was...
In the meantime,
yeah.
If you'd like to join the discussion, you have any questions, feel free to call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. Again, that's ask@swatradio.com. And you can ask us any questions or talk about anything that we've talked about today or what we've talked about in Acts. So it doesn't have to be, don't feel constrained. And feel free to just speak whatever's on your mind.
I mean, we're just living at a time. You know, I said this earlier before we went to break about rebelling against the culture. This past weekend, I was watching a church. Well, it's a guy we're going to have on. We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have Congressman John Rutherford on Thursday. Next week, we're going to have Owen Strahan on, who's great. He's speaking at Denton Bible Church on the Woke Conference in June. And then the Friday following that, I'm going to have Tommy Nelson on. And I love Tommy. Tommy's a pastor at Denton Bible. And Tommy, this past Sunday, he was just sharing about our culture because it was a graduation day for the high schoolers, and he had also the kids up there, and they had kids go through the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation, with hand motions and just little phrases, right, all the way through it. And I was just watching them. I was watching the faces and all these kids, and they were excited about what they were saying. Now, I granted, some of these kids are going to grow up. They're all going to struggle. We all struggle in our culture. But they're raising up kids that are they're teaching them the Bible. And so many places, they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
They're teaching them life lessons or talking about other things. They're teaching these kids the Bible. And I had a conversation the other day with somebody who's never been taught the Bible. I mean, can you imagine somebody in their 20s never taught anything in this country about the Bible?
You know, I would have thought that was unlikely with the way that I grew up. But, more and more as I've got to know how other people have come up, it's not quite as stunning as it used to be to me. just because of so many people who I've met who, at least, if not nothing, they hardly know anything, you know?
Yeah, I just, you would think in this, well, and another person I asked, they've never owned a Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've never owned one. And they were open to owning one. And so, you know, one of the statistics that Rick Brackett shared when he did discipleship training last month with us is that in Florida, in the state of Florida, 9 out of every 10 people you meet don't know Jesus by their own profession. Now, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
And even in St. John's County, Northeast Florida area here, Jacksonville and McClenny, all that, in the same place, people don't know Jesus, 9 out of 10, 89%. 89%, that's like 9 out of 10. I mean, would you ever have imagined that?
Mm-mm.
I mean, yet we got churches on every street corner.
Yeah.
And yet all these people don't profess. And one of the things that we as believers need to do is be courageous about just sharing with people, just asking people, hey, you know what? Do you mind if I share a story with you? You know, sure, why not? You know, there was a time in my life where I thought my purpose and my identity came from what I did. I was a pilot in the Marine Corps. Or there was a time in my life where I thought it came from what I did. I played sports in college, and it was all about that or whatever. But I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changed my life. Just that statement alone. And if they blow you off, they blow you off. They say, hey, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. Well, I'll pray for you. And then go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
What if every believer that professes the name of Jesus started doing that, and just in our little area here? I just think that so many of us get caught up in our own issues, our own hectic schedule. We forget that there's all these people around us that don't know Jesus. And we have opportunities. And one day we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, you know what? I put you in the middle of a place where you had 9 out of 10 people that don't know Jesus. And listen, we have this idea that you got to start from Genesis and go through Revelation with somebody. There's a book I'm reading. I think I told you about it, called Tactics, mm-hmm. by a guy named Greg Kuchel. And anyway, he just says, leave a rock in their shoe. You just want to leave a rock in their shoe. And it's really, really helpful to think about that. You know, can I ask you a question? I come in here every day, and you look like you got a lot of weight on your shoulders. Is there anything I can pray for? Just asking somebody like that. I can't tell you, Taylor, over the last 20 years, how many people my wife and I have asked in restaurants, and we've had people cry and just have to leave the table because they were overwhelmed with emotion. They, you know what they ask when they all come back? What church do you go to?
Mm.
They want to know why.
Yeah.
Because people care. And so I've been asked that just in the last couple of weeks, a couple of times. What church do you go to? You know, just for praying for people, trying to be a witness to people. And we need to be bold. And Stephen is a great example of that. And we see in him a man full of faith. And we're going to really get in this tomorrow. Verse 5 says he was a man full of faith. He was a man full of faith in and also out of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing about Stephen. There were thousands of people there. And they had to select a man full of the Spirit and wisdom. And he's the first one on the list. The first one mentioned, and they give a descriptive after his name. Nobody else gets a descriptive except for the proselyte. I mean, he's just known for converting into, you know, Judaism. But Stephen is a man full of faith. You know what that means? To be full of faith means he's controlled by it. That's the dominating force in his life. What about you? If you're listening out there, what role does faith in the one true living God play in your life? Does it Does it control you? Listen, our faith always controls us. The question is, what object of our faith is the dominating force of our life? Because we all believe in something. What we really believe is either A, God is who he said he is and he's in charge. We're accountable to him. B, God may be who he said he is, and I'm not really sure, so I'm operating under my authority. Mm. That's where a lot of us end up operating. Or C, I don't even believe in God, so I'm my own authority. I do what I want to do. Really, those are the only three possibilities, really, right? I mean, you either believe that he is who he said he is and he's the authority over you. Two, you believe he could be, but you're just not sure, so you kind of exercise authority in your life. Or C, you just reject him outright and you don't care. And so Stephen was a man who was underneath. He was all in. He was underneath God's authority. He was controlled by faith. And tomorrow when we come back, we're going to dive into these characteristics: faith, the Holy Spirit, wisdom, grace, power, courage, and God's presence. And we're going to start with faith and really look at what Stephen believed. Because what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. It really is. You can say what you believe, but what's really at the core of what you believe is always seen in your actions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And, you know, that's something I think that if you're a Christian or you grew up Christian, you hear that a lot, but don't take a lot of time to really think about, you know, the impact of that statement and how much it applies to you as an individual.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So as we think about that, Our faith, and I shared this at the SWAT meetings, what we believe is at the very core of our life. And I want you to picture concentric circles, and I'll come back over this tomorrow because I know we're short on time. But what we believe is at the core. The next circle around our belief is our goals and values. Then the next circle around that is our actions, okay, and the things we actually choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
The next circle around that is what people see in us, the institution we build and present. What we try to do is change the appearance, which is the outer circle.
Right.
We even try to change our choices, right? Modify our behavior. We might even go so deep as to change our priorities and our values, but what's at the very core is what we believe. So even if you change all those other circles, ultimately what filters back through, it's like a virus in a computer. You can't change what's at the core. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Only God can change that. What I'm saying is you can change all the other things. I shouldn't say you can't change what's at the core. You can change all the other things, but if you don't change what's at the core, yeah, all those other changes are going to ultimately come back to what's right in the core.
Yep. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. Yeah, that's good.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow too.
All right. So make sure that you tune in because we are out of time for today. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit us at www.swatradio.com. That's www.swatradio.com. Or you can listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio. You can also download our SWAT app in the App Store, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. Join us weekdays at 3 o'clock for more SWAT Radio. We will see you then. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online